A couple Sundays ago, Pastor Portman asked if I would preach, and within a day, I had a theme that I'd like to share with you. And then last Wednesday, Pastor Portman, in his opening message, brought up, do you remember that saying? He had a question regarding being a child. He said, and this is quoting, I went actually back and listened to the video to get it right. Have you ever wished you could go back and just be a carefree child once again? When he said that, I thought, yeah, I think of that. I think of that a lot. I do. But to add to that, what I really would want to go back for also is to right the wrongs that I've done, to make right the things I've done wrong. To go back in time to be a child and to know what you know now, to make good decisions, that's really what I would want to go back for. As children, remember, as a child, playing games, and if you would mess up, what would you hear? What would you want to do over? A do-over. I hear that a lot with Leah when we were in the yard playing badminton or with a ball and bat. Now Rochelle with whatever it is, cartwheels. Oh, Dad, that wasn't just right. Let me have a redo. Yeah, that's fine. And sometimes she'll have a piece of paper and we'll grade them, and I'll rate them, you know, and then we'll name them. Was that a twist flip or was that a spin twist? You know, and then I'll mark, you know, 0 to 10. Dad, what do you think that was? Was that a 9? And I'll say, wow, that was probably about a 5 or 6. Oh, okay, then we're going to do a redo. We're going to redo that one. Don't mark that one down. Somehow a redo is justified when we mess up. The same holds true for us as adults. We should demand a redo from God. Whenever I mess up, I should say, God, I demand a redo. And you know what he would say? He would say, go for it. You have a chance to do a redo. There's no need to demand that from God. He already gives us this opportunity. And that's just such a, I don't know, I find myself many times in worship just thanking God. Things come to my mind that he's helped me with, or that he's brought me through, or that my life was spared. And I'm just so awed and thankful. God, you would do that for me? If we make mistakes, if we sin, if we don't get it just right, we should always have a desire to do it over, to do a redo, make it right. Jesus gives us those opportunities every single day. So tonight's topic is called second chances. Second chances are very prevalent in my life. I wish I could go back and change a lot of things. But I'm not here to focus on woe is me, poor me, because there's a more positive thing that I'd like to focus on, and that's how Jesus provides redos for us every single day. Did you ever do something or have a situation where you did something wrong? Maybe it was on accident, maybe it was on purpose. And you wonder, can I get back to God? Can I feel his presence, or is he angry at me? And I'll prove to you that he is all for second chances. Because if we do something wrong, and we've all been there, I walk through those doors, I come to the altar, and I think, oh, why did I do that? But then I feel the presence of God. And what he's saying is, I know you did something wrong, but I'm here to give you another chance. Jesus, in his mercy, gives us chances to get it right. And what we need to do is be thankful and take those opportunities to make it right. What about the 10 lepers? I'm going to go through a few examples in the Bible. The 10 lepers, did you know, by the way, that an armadillo is the only other living creature that can get leprosy? Isn't that neat? I just learned that today. Playing a game with Rochelle, true or false. And she got it right. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He stopped at a certain village. Now, why did he stop at this particular village? Was he invited? Was he hungry, so he stopped to eat? Was he tired, so he stopped to rest? Or was Jesus inclined to stop at this particular village because he knew there were people that needed help? There were people that needed help. There were 10 lepers. The first thing the lepers said, and I thought this was interesting when they saw Jesus, is have mercy on us. They didn't ask for a healing. They didn't ask for food or money or clothing. They didn't ask to take a message to my family. They asked for mercy. They asked for the most important thing in life, mercy, ultimately with the forgiveness of sins. They definitely wanted to be healed. There was no doubt about it. Yet they wanted to be forgiven. Jesus responded with, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So in their act of obedience, as they went, they were all cleansed. Now, this is the point where I'd like to kind of get back to my message of second chances. They all received a second chance, all 10 of them. But we know the story well, and we've heard it preached many times, that one of the 10 that was healed went back and thanked Jesus. He recognized, wow, I've got a second chance, and I know what this is about. I really know a second chance when I see it. Every moment of our lives is really a second chance. Now, second chances aren't a license to sin. It's not that Jesus keeps overlooking our mistakes. Instead, he recognizes our efforts to be right with him, and in his mercy, he lets us do it again. We need to have that, I need to have that keep trying attitude. We need to stay repentant our whole life, be cognizant of how we can do better. Let's not mistake God's grace as his acceptance of things that we are doing wrong or an excuse to continue in sin. God isn't as concerned with the things we have done wrong as in our desire to make it right. Romans 6 and 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" So meaning if we're dead to sin, how are we going to keep going back to that sin? We're dead to it. Another verse, another scripture, Proverbs 24:16. "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." So it's contrasting two people, the just getting up again, the wicked, they stop trying. Jesus has given us everything, more than we deserve. He has given us life, family, material things, things that we've asked for, things that we haven't asked for. What about Noah? Noah, his family, and all the others around were given a second chance. They knew that the rain was coming. Some people believed it, some people didn't. Noah and his family were the only ones, 8 people saved from the flood. Now they were given a second chance. They saw the second chance and went into the ark. People outside the ark were given the same opportunity, yet they didn't see the value in getting in the ark. And that window of opportunity for that second chance closed, and it was too late. If God gives us a second chance, let's not waste it. Let's learn from it. Some other examples that I thought of in the Bible: Peter denying Jesus 3 times, he was given a second chance. The woman with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was given a second chance to live. David committed adultery and murder, he was given a second chance. You know, I look at David and I see he writes, "Cause me to walk in your ways." You know, and that's really what it's all about. He was so repentant, he was so sorry for what he did, that God gave him a second chance. Jonah, given a second chance to deliver the message to Nineveh. Samson, to avenge the Philistines one last time. And in his death, he killed more Philistines than when he was alive. The woman in adultery that was about to be stoned. The thief on the cross next to Jesus. Balaam, he was about to be killed by an angel if it wasn't for his talking donkey. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus made it right with people that he deceived or he was deceptive with in collecting taxes. What about Joseph's brothers? Threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. They were given a second chance by Joseph's mercy. Naaman, he was sent to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. He was told to dip in the Jordan 7 times. He thought there would be a better way. But once he obeyed, his leprosy was healed. He was given a second chance. How about, let's bring it home, how about salvation? I was given a second chance when I received the Holy Ghost, when I was baptized in Jesus' name by immersion. At that point, all my sins were washed away. What about Nicodemus? He was a good man. The Bible says he was devout. He feared God. He gave much money to the people. He prayed always. But did he need a second chance? He was told to send for Peter, and he would tell him what he needed to do. Well, he was such a just man. What did he need to do? Well, he needed to follow the process of salvation, to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. You've never gone too far that God can't redeem us. Amen. We've never gone too far that God can't restore us or forgive us. You may say, well, I'm a good person. We just talked about Nicodemus. A good person, do they need second chances? I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't swear, I don't chew. You know the rest of the story. So why would I need a second chance if I'm a good person when I don't do anything that warrants a second chance? Yet the Bible says that our best is like filthy rags to Jesus. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as unclean, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags." Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So no matter how good we think we are, it's not good enough. We need second chances because we are all imperfect. Romans 3:23 The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So why is God so patient with me? Why is God so willing to give me a second chance to make it right? God is patient with us because of his love for us. He loves us so much. He loves us more than we love each other. He loves us more than we love him. Rochelle and I have this thing where when she leaves or I leave the room, we'll see you later. Love you. And she always comes back, love you more. And I'm like, well, I love you more. No, I love you more. I love you 100 times what we just said. And I say, well, I love you whatever you just said. And God blesses it 10 million times. And then she says, well, I love you more than anyone's ever said I love you in the world and what God's ever said. And he blesses it 20 trillion zillion times. And so we have this. I said, Rochelle, wouldn't that be neat if when we get to heaven we can find out the actual number, how much we love each other? God is patient because of his love for us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He desires us to repent and be right with him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Doesn't that sum it all up right there? But there's more. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. God sometimes keeps pulling us out of the same mess as a sheep keeps going astray. You know, we look at that and we think, what a dumb sheep. But does that look familiar to anybody? I'll be the first to raise my hand. Except the crevice I fell in wasn't that big. So how do we handle second chances when we receive them or see them as an opportunity? How do we handle them? How do we process them? How do we go about partaking of them? Well, how we handle them is, first off, like one of the 10 lepers came back, the first thing he said, well, first thing he did was praise God, but he thanked him also. So we can have a thankful attitude, recognize and appreciate God's mercy. We can be hopeful, not condemned, because we know when we get up again, Jesus will be right there. We can repent, we can keep trying, we can ask forgiveness, we can ask for strength. Like I mentioned prior with David, cause me to walk in your ways. We can spend time with him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can learn to do better, strive for perfection. None of us are there yet. I had a prior manager, that whenever you completed a project or did something, he would always say, yeah, good job, that's really good, but there's always room for improvement. And I didn't know how to take that. And I was, well, what do you mean, Andy? Room for improvement. Well, think about it. What could you have done better? You know, lessons learned. And then you make a list of, okay. You just want to move on to the next project. You don't want to focus on that one. It's already done. You know, okay, I learned some things. Let's write them down. If you have a project similar, we can all glean something off of that. I get it. But his point was, no matter how good you do, always strive to do a little better. And so here I end up finding myself telling our girls that. And it's always in a good way, more of a funny way than constructive criticism. So we can't take advantage of these second chances. We can't use them as an excuse to sin. Because like in the days of Noah, that door of opportunity or the window of opportunity, it may not be open forever. We can be like Jesus. He is an excellent example of giving second chances and how we can give others a second chance. Matthew 6 and 15, but if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. March 23rd, and everyone that's on the prayer band would have received this. March 23rd, a prayer band went out for a real close friend of ours, Maureen and ours from high school. The day before, he was taken into ICU because he had a heart attack. And he's about our age and very active. Him and his wife were in marathons. So, you know, it's like, what is happening? He had AFib, diabetic. So he had some complications. He was in ICU. The prayer band went out. And I found myself alone in our basement, and I just started praying for him. And I said, Jesus, I really wasn't even thinking what I was saying, but I was speaking my message to God, saying, give him a second chance, would you? I didn't know how serious it was. He was in ICU. Give him a second chance. When Rochelle was born, I was really, really happy. Well, I was happy when Leah was born too. But when Rochelle was born, I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Now I have a second chance to do all the things right that I didn't do right with Leah. I can now get it right. I can now make those good decisions. You know, and not that I made terrible decisions, but the biggest one was you're working on a project and, hey, Dad, look at this. Hey, Dad, look at this. Can we do this? Yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, and then your mind is on the project. Your mind is, I got to finish this. Your mind is somewhere else. And I look back and I think, man, what was more important than spending that quality time with Leah or Rochelle? So when Rochelle was born, I actually read a book too. It was by a pediatrician, and she said, you know, what kids really like is when you get down to their level, see them eye to eye, not looking up, not doing something or looking somewhere else, but getting down to their level, looking at them eye to eye, and acknowledging what they're saying. And sometimes repeating, oh, so you rode your scooter 3 times around? Oh, that's good. You know, repeat what they said so they know, hey, he's really listening. So second chances, that was a nice second chance. There was a time in 1982, I was with a friend of mine, and he had a 1968 Mustang. We were going down Highway C, towards Union Grove. It was a dark, rainy night. And something happened where he lost control of the car. And I know the exact spot whenever I travel that road where it was. He lost control. And it was so ironic because God brings this back to my memory. And I'm so thankful. But it was so ironic because the song that happened to be playing on the radio was an ungodly song that talked about going on a highway that wasn't heaven. And that was playing. That was the last thing I remembered. And we ended up spinning the car backwards and rolling it on its roof. We walked away from that to the nearest house, called for help. We walked away from that. Another time, a little while later, 1986, the summer of 1986, traveling back from an event at Parkside, Brother Kevin and I were in my car. He was driving. And another situation happened. That was in my car. Did I say that already? That was my car. It was a 1972 old Cutlass Supreme. And again, something happened where we ended up turning the whole car, going the opposite direction, skidding across the road, and rolling. I fell out the window. I don't remember anything besides skidding the car. I fell out the window, and the police said that it rolled, I don't know, 4 to 5 times, and it missed a culvert. Kevin came over to me. I was laying face down in the ditch, unresponsive, not breathing. He performed CPR. I was revived. First thing, I ran back to the car, tried to start it and leave. But the engine had shifted off the mounts, the radiator was smashed. It was a bad situation. That is also on Spring Street, just down the road. Every time I go by that, I think of this second chance that God gave me for life. I was unresponsive. I wasn't breathing. One day I drove by and I looked over at the area and I said, thank you, Jesus, thank you. And he spoke to me very clear and he said, I saved your life that day. Second chances seem to always come in the late 60s and 70s era vehicles. So I've always upgraded since. One last personal one I'd like to share with you is from a 1977 Cessna 152. Now, this was a situation, December of 2000. I was going up, I was taking lessons, and I was going up on my third solo, and it was snowing pretty heavy. And I was about to land, and I was taking my final approach, and the final turn, the instructor ingrained that you need to be at 70 knots. And I was about 60, and it kept dropping. And I thought, what is going on? My airspeed indicator was dropping. So I aborted the landing, called him, and said, I'm in trouble here. I kept lowering the plane to see if my airspeed would increase. It kept dropping, so I freaked out, and I attempted to land in a field. I couldn't see well. It was snowing pretty heavy, and I attempted to land in a field, and it didn't go very well. I ended up flipping the plane, broke the prop, and as I'm upside down in my seatbelt, I couldn't get out. And I thought, oh, great, this is like one of those James Bond movies that, you know, that you smell the gas start leaking and then the plane blows up. Well, I did start to smell the gas, and I thought, oh, no. So I finally got out, started walking, and a guy in his snowmobile, on his snowmobile, comes and gets me. Well, that wasn't the worst of it. The instructor, about 2 weeks later, said, hey, we got to meet, and we got to settle up with this plane. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you owe me about, you know, $12,000. He said, you totaled it. And I said, yeah, I'm really sorry. I feel terrible. But isn't that what insurance is for? And he said, I don't have insurance on it. I said, really? And so you know, the landing was one thing, but now I have to deal with owing money. And it got to the point where he took me to court, and it was up to $63,000 that he was suing me for. And it was a judge, jury, or decision, and it went my way, thank God. But what a second chance walking away. One of the witnesses, the lawyer I retained, was actually a pilot. Well, he knew a pilot that was flying out of Milwaukee as a commercial airline pilot. He came to testify on my behalf, and he said, which floored me, he was up on the stand and he told the judge, anyone that walks away from a landing, it's a good landing. And I'm thinking, no, it wasn't a good landing, no. I never passed by that road. I don't think I've ever been in that area because it really leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But whenever I think of it, I think the same thing. I think, I'm so thankful, God, you've saved my life so many times. I hope somehow tonight I encouraged you, I lifted up God in a way that you can see his mercy is right there when we need it. He gives us second chances. I don't know if they're really called second chances when, you know, you've done it like 100 times. Maybe it's 100 chances. But just to summarize, as children, we always ask for a redo. Jesus is always willing to give us, as adults, those second chances as a redo. We talked about the 10 lepers, how the one was thankful. We talked about many other examples in the Bible. Second chances aren't a license to sin. We need to take advantage of that window of opportunity that we don't miss the mark or put it off until that window is closed. The I am a good person mindset we can't have. We all need second chances, as none of us are perfect. Why is God so patient with us? It's because of his love for us. His mercy runs so deep. How do we handle second chances? We can be thankful. We can learn from them. We can keep trying to please God. We can ask for help. Many times I find myself in prayer just asking God, saying, God, I can't handle this situation. I don't know what to do. I really don't have the means. I'm not smart enough to finagle my way through this. Can you just help me? I need your help because I can't do this on my own. We can be like Jesus and give others a second chance. We can be confident that Jesus wants us to succeed. He wants us to please him. He is always on our side. Amen. And he loves us immensely. Lastly, all we need to do when we fall and we're looking for that second chance is get up again, keep trying, and maintain a desire to always be right with him. If you'd stand with me, I'd like to open this altar and feel free to come. And if you think of those things that have happened in your life, we can be thankful for those. We can ask God for more second chances. Would you come?